When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." It has to be the most unpopular beatitude. The problem is our misunderstanding of the word meek. Meek makes us think of cowardly people afraid of their own shadows, the doormat everybody wipes their feet on. But the meek are not those who cave in to every whim of society, who let themselves be trampled by the boss, who endure cruel abuse at the hands of a dominating spouse. The meek do not allow themselves to be dragged along by the tides of political power or to be led by the smell of money. Meekness in the Bible does not mean weakness. Scripture describes two people as meek. One is Moses, who the Bible describes as very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. Moses was meek when he stood up to the Egyptian Pharaoh in confrontation after confrontation. The second person described as meek is none other than Jesus himself, who was meek when he withstood the temptations in the wilderness, when he set his face to go to Jerusalem to die, and when he cleared the temple. And at the end, in the garden, he prays, "Abba, please take this cup from me if it is your will, but not my will, Lord, let your will be done." And then hours later, Jesus stood before Pilate. His body had been abused. His face was bleeding. But he stood there as if he were the one in control. One thing for sure, Jesus was always, always in control of himself. The familiar phrase, "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild," shows a lack of understanding of both Jesus and meekness. I preferred our hymn today, "Gentle Jesus, strong and kind." Moses and Jesus, no one would ever consider them a doormat or a pushover. Both stood up in strength against the powerful and gave themselves completely to God. This is not usually a popular beatitude because it is opposite of the way we all often think. The opposite of "blessed are the meek" are "blessed are the arrogant, the aggressive, the manipulative, those who demand position and control." And there is control in this beatitude, but it's not having control of events or of other people. It is having control of one's self. The Greek word praeus, translated meek, was used to describe a wild stallion that had learned to be ridden. A horse jockey once said, "The secret to riding a horse and winning a race is in controlling its power. If you're not careful," he said, "the horse will try to control. You have to control the horse. You have to guide the horse. You have to slow the horse down." God has empowered us. God has given us the power to make decisions. God has chosen not to control us. And we live a blessed life when we allow God to harness the strength and the strong emotions of our lives and to use it for our benefit, for God's benefit, for the benefit of others. We need our strength and our emotion under control to make wise decisions. An old Kenny Rogers song expressed the meaning and wisdom of this beatitude at a poker table, no less, as he sang, "You gotta know when to hold 'em and when to fold 'em. Know when to walk away and know when to run." Sometimes life's decisions get really hard and complex. And only those with their power and emotions under control, better yet, disciplined by the Spirit of Christ, only those can make the truly wisest decision. In this beatitude, I preferred the word gentle, as it is sometimes translated, instead of meek. Blessed are the gentle. Power under control. As a white American, I cannot begin to imagine the long-suffering patience of African Americans. The tenacity and strength of our black sisters and brothers is a marvel and a miracle to me. As a baseball fan, when I think of gentleness, I think of Jackie Robinson. In 1947, Dodgers owner Branch Rickey was looking to cross the color barrier in baseball, and he needed an athlete, not only one talented, but one strong enough to overcome insults and hardships. Jackie Robinson was that guy. Withstanding racist taunts from opponents and the crowds with amazing gentleness, self-control, and passionate determination for baseball. Gentleness is the strength of those who can handle offense without lashing out in retaliation. Those strong enough to resist nonviolently. Gentleness is being strong enough to allow God's mercy to shape our response to others. Strong enough not to want what we're told to want. The gentleness of Jesus was strong. Strong to defend the weak and most vulnerable in his midst. And he calls out to us, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle." Same word as the Beatitude. Gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. What is this yoke of gentleness? Well, gentleness is its own kind of strength. It is the strength of self-restraint. It's the restraint of one's own power so that it doesn't hurt or damage others. And we need the strength of Jesus to help us with this kind of restraint, don't we? Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. What does it mean to inherit the earth? This kingdom of God with no geographical boundaries. But when Jesus was offering this beatitude, he must have clearly had Psalm 37 in mind. Could you overhear today's beatitude in the psalm I read earlier? It describes the meekness of a gentle soul. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you'll dwell in the land and enjoy security. Commit your way to the Lord and God will act. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not. It tends only to evil. But the meek will inherit the earth and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The meek of this psalm are viewed as those who trust in God, who commit their way to God, who wait for God and keep God's ways. But to think that the meek and gentle will inherit the earth, isn't that just wishful thinking? We all know it's the wealthy tyrants, the plunderers of the earth, the invaders of lands that seem to get the upper hand most times. It's what makes Jesus sound irrelevant sometimes. However, Jesus dares to say that the earth does not belong to the self-centered who try to possess it, but to those who are willing to let go of possessiveness. The reason the gentle will inherit the earth is that they would never think of taking it for themselves. Ultimately, the earth belongs to God and all that is within it. And if we belong to God, if we are, as Paul says we are, heirs of God, then what is God's is ours. Eugene Peterson paraphrases this beatitude by saying, "You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that cannot be bought." How do the gentle inherit the land? To inherit the land doesn't mean to own it. It means to enjoy it, to love it, to care for it, to live gently upon it. To look and see the land every day as a gift from God and not a possession. Jesus is getting at something essential here. That all ownership is temporal. We are, all of us, only stewards. The land remains long after we've become the dust we came from. Our possessions, our possession of anything, is an illusion. Only God possesses anything. Any power we're born into or gain throughout our lives is only a mirage. Tolkien's hobbits knew this. His famous books and films, The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings trilogy, narrates the exploits of hobbits, small characters who have no epic ambition at all. They're childlike in stature, content to stick to the Shire. They feel no urges to own much or travel anywhere. So why do we adore and cheer for these little hobbits? Why is their unlikely triumph over evil so exciting? Is it more than merely just pulling for the underdog? Perhaps Tolkien makes these hobbits such small creatures in order to challenge our obsession with largeness. For the hobbits, bigger does not mean better. And small can indeed be quite beautiful. The hobbits live not in a towering fortress, but in small earthen huts. The hobbits are shy of the big people. They're not consumers. They give presents to others on their own birthdays. Lacking in a lust for power, they are the ideal ones to destroy the ring of power. For they alone don't want power, which corrupts those who pant for it in their desire to be even bigger. They don't advance their own private agendas. They're not competitive. They're not trying to get ahead of others. They would not make very good Americans. The world competes and compares, beats and gets beaten, grabs and measures. But the gentle are near enough to Jesus to choose a better way. Together they are, all of them, a new family of kindness and sharing. One thing we often miss in this beatitude is that the Greek word for gentle is not singular. Jesus is not talking about individuals, solitary, isolated, marginalized individual. Jesus uses the plural, suggesting a community, some sense of belonging among the gentle. When Jesus pledges the earth itself to the gentle, he has no plans of divvying it up so that each individual gentle person can have a little slice of the pie for themselves. A new family is being birthed here, and the gentle ones inherit the earth together. In the 1970s, a Baptist church plant started in an office building on the Upper West Side of New York City. Their small community met weekly for worship and shared a simple meal together. When they had finished, they took leftovers to the hungry at the park across the street. Then they started preparing the meal specifically for their hungry neighbors instead. Quickly, they became a church who serves. And together they took turns staying overnight at the Covenant House shelter in Hell's Kitchen, a place I actually spent a day and night on a mission trip in college. One morning, heading to the train after their shelter stay, they passed by an old Catholic church building for sale. They stood there looking at the building and the neighborhood, and they commented to one another, homeless people down the block, prostitutes on the corner, crack dealers across the street, what a great place for a church. So Metro Baptist Church moved to West 40th Street. They gathered to receive the keys to their new home and to pray. The pastor stood across the street in full view of the building and prayed, Lord, don't give us this building if we can't put it to your use 24/7. And from Metro's beginning, they have sought to give everything they have for God's kingdom. They started a food pantry and a clothes closet. When they added their after-school program to the slate of community services, they incorporated a nonprofit called Rauschenbusch Metro Ministry. For decades now, their building has been used to feed, clothe, teach, house, empower, grow, inspire, imagine. It's been a safe and protective space for those escaping domestic violence. And when they repeat the words each week, Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, Metro Baptist Church hears its calling. They commit all they are and everything they have to being part of ushering in God's kingdom, and they don't hold back. It made me wonder, what if the Beatitudes were the bylaws of a church? And what could be possible if we fully gave ourselves over to God? I think we'd be the kind of church Jesus wants. For to be meek and gentle is to trust what we cannot see. And the more we do it, the more we wake up to what's possible when we trust. after all, if we know God is love, then do we really risk losing anything in handing our life, our church, to God? To be gentle means that knowing that none of what we enjoy really belongs to us. And it means to live gratefully in God's generosity. It means trusting God so much that in everything we do, in how we order our days, in what we teach our children, in the work we choose, we give ourselves over to God. Surrendering ourselves to God, becoming gentle, opens the way for love to break in. And oh, how our world needs love to break in.